Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you are following us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Give us a 5-star rating. It massively helps us out. Enjoy.
Welcome back to Pitside, ladies and gentlemen. Today I'm joined by the man who never wears a hat, Mr. Reeve.
No, that's not true. I wore a blue one before, I wore a Christmas one.
What's under the hat? I want a hair reveal.
Oh, no, that's why I'm wearing a hat.
Oh, is it?
I'm going full Eminem 8 Mile because the...
Damn, that is a solid set of hairline. That is unlike me. Anyways, we are joined... we are joined by our second City fan... of the season, Boovy. Welcome to Pitchside. How have you been? What have you been up to?
Good, mate. Yeah, watching City do very well this season.
Yeah, you know? Again,
win football matches. That's all we're good at. Do you know what I mean?
How long have you been a City fan for?
My whole life.
Okay.
How long is your whole life?
Since I was 5 years old. So that's 21 years ago now.
You were born at 5 years old?
I was born... came out five. Well developed.
Because we were discussing just now, weren't we, about how like some of our friends we know have sort of just changed supporting of their club. And I know a lot of City are very like used to that, especially in the modern era.
I've genuinely been a City fan since we were terrible, and I don't know anyone that's actually converted to City. I come from the West Country. Obviously, you guys are saying you know you come from parts of the UK where it's similar for that to happen, and everyone's a United fan or a Chelsea fan. I don't know many that have actually converted to City. Yeah.
What? How come do you support City?
So my granddad used to live in Manchester, but being in the West Country, there is no gravitational pull to any other club in the West Country. It's shocking.
Forest Green
are doing well, top of League Two. I hope they go up. Yeah. Swindon Town are the only Premier League club that have come from the West Country. Yeah, yeah. No Bristol City. Bristol Rovers are shocking.
Yeah, they're
absolutely shocking. The managed by Joey Barton, of all people.
Wait, what?
Joey Barton manages Bristol Rovers.
Currently?
There's a period of time where Bristol Rovers have more red cards than goals for about
three or four shock. Months. Joey Barton comes in.
Seriously.
Throw it down.
And Reeve, what have you been up to this week?
Nothing, really.
Oh, well, that was an anticlimax.
Oh, do you want me to do it for the reverse?
Go on then.
Oh, just making me seem like my life's miserable.
So I've been...
Okay, Theo, what have you been up to this week?
Well, I've been broadening my knowledge on the French league. What's your opinions on the French league? Obviously, Messi plays there at the moment. Oh. Neymar, and so three of the biggest names in world football play in the French league.
It's a different tone and voice to... before we went on this
trip, you got a Joey Barton twinge of
my name is Theo.
No, it's awful. It's an awful league, and that's no disrespect to anyone who's French that follows Marseille or Nice or Monaco, but it's an awful league. And the fact that PSG fans are booing Messi shows
that's
not real.
That is ridiculous.
Did you see Thierry Henry recently came out and said it was actually after when obviously PSG lost 3-0 to the mighty Monaco. Shout out to Monaco.
You're a Monaco fan.
You're like contractually obliged to say
all
these things now.
Right? You know what? I was out then. I was like, what? I want to like adopt like a French team. You know how like in Italy, I love AC Milan.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to sort of adopt a team in France. I feel like Monaco is my team. Obviously, Thierry Henry started there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, Fabregas plays there currently.
And is Mbappe, he still playing there?
Yeah, he is.
That's so cool. Yeah. I thought he retired.
No, he's not retired. I think he's moving very
final
soon.
But Monaco's that's a very hipster team.
It's quite like obviously they're very, very good. They're having a bit of a iffy last few months. They're not doing great. But no, I quite like, they've got a very, very good youth academy as well.
Mm.
Like one of the best youth academies in the world, really.
Yeah.
Thierry Henry came out and said recently, it's embarrassing that the PSG fans are booing Messi when I believe Messi. Oh, I want to get the quote properly, but Messi is like the top assist. Yeah. He's like the top.
I think he's created the most goals.
He's
in the
created
league,
the most goals in the league right now,
I think,
hasn't
so.
He?
He's double digits.
He's got, he's got 10 assists.
Yeah. 10 assists, exactly. And obviously, the one game he doesn't play in, they lose 3-0.
It's the Champions League. I get that, but if you. You can't. Like, City are very similar to PSG for obvious reasons because of the new takeover and stuff like that.
Yeah.
City fans would never boo Aguero, De Bruyne. No,
it just wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen
ever.
Yeah,
ever. So PSG fans aren't good people. They're not good football fans. How can you boo Messi?
No, no, it's true.
They're not good people.
Neymar scored and they booed when he scored.
It
was
not,
a goal.
It's not good, man.
He scored a goal and they went boo.
Just not all PSG fans, but the ones that boo.
It was interesting though. Like obviously, I went to the I was at the Monaco PSG game.
Were you?
Yeah, I don't know if you can tell.
That's mental.
And Neymar did actually. This was the first time. So I'm a really big Neymar fan. I think he's incredible. Along with Mbappe, I genuinely think he is so. It's weird to say underrated.
You think he's underrated?
I do. Yeah. Wow. If you look at his actual stats and his goal contributions, like he is leagues above a lot of like all time greats. We've had the discussion like
how many did he get at Santos though? Because that's a different.
Yes,
I don't know. But
he probably got 400 goals.
I know he plays in. But even at Barcelona, his stats are insane. Like,
yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
MSN were ridiculous.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like, I mean, I think like he gets. I think because of his attitude, he gets a lot of stick, and I think he could change that. But I did. I was specifically looking at him during this game. His attitude.
And
reeked.
He's looking back at you.
And he looks at me.
And
goes,
he's like.
His attitude did actually reek. Like he wasn't trying. He seemed very like negative for the team.
Well, do you remember when we? Obviously, this is a bit of kit that we got from when we went to watch PSG versus Montpellier.
Yep.
And we cycled there.
We actually cycled there to see Messi, and he didn't play.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went again, and he didn't play.
But we said it. Do you remember?
Really?
He wasn't there yesterday. Yeah.
Why injury? Attitude.
Apparently, like, you know, I think he's a national team.
A national team, right? Yeah. I thought he was like sulking after the.
I think
the
like him and Di Maria wasn't there as well.
Right. Yeah, that makes
but
sense.
But like, I think they had to just say he was injured.
Mad.
Yeah, you have to, don't you?
Yeah,
happens a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, that game, Neymar and Mbappe having their feuds between each other.
That was the game that it all kicked off. Well, they were like.
Do you reckon that was
the
start of the snowball, where they're just now.
It is a PSG are a weird one, aren't they? Like I feel like, you know, they always say like the manager's lost the changing room.
I really feel like
at PSG that has happened. Like Poch, he can't control these guys at the moment. They're all a bit out of control. They're just not. They're these huge superstars, world football players,
yeah.
And they're not playing as a team. Unlike City, who again have some of the best superstars in the world, and they are somehow gelled under Guardiola.
It's tough because whatever, even if it's Pellegrini or Mancini, like. Yaya Toure comes from Barcelona. He's a massive signing. He's on huge wages at the time. He's going against Spurs, Arsenal. He's playing against Liverpool midfields. He's playing against Chelsea midfields. If Yaya Toure back then joins PSG, who's he playing against?
Yeah.
No, seriously.
Yeah,
it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's really not the same. They need to make the league better. It's a bit like Scotland. Like the Scottish league's terrible when it's just Celtic winning the league.
Yeah.
They need Rangers and Celtic to do well, and that's why Rangers are doing well in the Europa League, for example. Like PSG need a strong Monaco.
Well, I feel like last season, obviously Lille won the French league, and that was I'm guessing that was the first time like there's been a big major difference.
First in nine, I think. Yeah.
And I feel like that is what they need more of. They need these other teams competing, but it must be so hard. Where obviously these teams have good money, they have good players, whatever, but they're just getting completely outmuscled by PSG.
Yeah,
it's tough. Yeah, it's tough.
Anyways. I was at Monaco PSG. I then went to, I would say, one of the, genuinely, like I know you shout on the French league just then, but Marseille versus Nice was one of the most intense games
I've ever
experienced.
Yeah.
I was actually scared outside the stadium.
Really, yeah.
I was the atmosphere was genuinely like actually terrifying.
I've been there for England-Russia.
Really?
In 2016.
Sick.
That's when all the Russian fans were... You could see all the videos of the throwing chairs and stuff like that. And there's fat English guys, ripped Russian guys like, fighting each other. But that stadium's incredible as well, isn't it?
Beautiful stadium. It's so loud. It's so loud. Like the atmosphere outside the stadium, because obviously I was unaware of the rivalry between Marseille and Nice. And then it just it really sparked up earlier in the season when obviously Payet got all the stuff thrown at him.
Oh, is that... The return leg was when that happened?
That was the first game of the season, I believe. Oh, not the first time they met in the season this year.
Yeah.
And obviously the fans invaded the pitch. The game got postponed. And I think Nice were 1-0 up at the time, I think. But they had to play it behind closed doors, and this was the first time they had met since that incident kicked off.
Wow.
And they were saying there were no Nice fans in the stadium. The government had banned, they had stopped fans coming into the stadium.
For this game?
Yeah.
And the atmosphere was still like,
because Marseille were just like...
So they were hostile to each other?
To the Nice fans. It was just like hostile when you get out there. Like when the Nice players came out, I've never heard like whistles and boos like that in my entire life.
It's crazy.
Right. I couldn't believe it. I don't know. I thought it was sick. Obviously, you guys weren't there. But Marseille won 2-0.
We were here in rainy London.
Yeah. What do you think? If
it wasn't actually.
Actually, no, it was amazing weather.
We've had an incredible few days of sun.
I haven't. I've been freezing my bollocks off. It's been well cold.
Got a bit of a tan, that's a lie.
Well, yeah, it was sunny but cold, I think. Okay. How do you think, actually, I was talking to someone out there, how do you think UK fans would react if, obviously, they had what happened in France and then they were banned from going to away games?
They'd go outside the stadium. Mm. They'd be outside the stadium. Seriously, wouldn't they? I mean, if it was Arsenal Tottenham, and for some reason I can't think of a game where that's actually happened in England, which says something about the French authorities. To be fair, like, you know, Arsenal, Tottenham. I've been to that game, and that's levels above what I can imagine that is in Marseille. And Spurs fans would wait outside the Emirates. Easily. No question.
What's the most intense game you think you've ever been to? Like, what's the craziest atmosphere you've felt?
Colombia, England, in Russia. That was bad. That was bad. Queens.
The result was good.
Piss being lobbed at us.
Oh, really?
When we won. Yeah, because really? It was the stadium in Russia. Every stadium that I was lucky enough to go to every England game, except that third place playoff. But, it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. In every Russian stadium, you could go around. There was no segregation. You could just go around all parts of the stadium.
So anyone of any team could literally come in and just...
Yeah, in the stadium in Nizhny, in St. Petersburg, in Moscow, the multiple stadiums in Moscow, literally the amount of times we went into one block and then just joined up to the hardcore England fans. And obviously that's where the fun is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then eventually, like, we had Colombian fans coming in, like fighting with England fans in toilets and stuff like that. There was no security. It was crazy.
Was that the first tournament you'd been to as like a fan?
Euro 2016 was the first.
Oh, Euro 2016.
Yeah, in France. That was amazing, yeah.
Did you go to the final? Or just the England games?
No, we just went... Yeah, we followed England all the way through. Yeah. Went to Iceland.
You went to Iceland? Yeah. Oh, the Iceland game. Yeah, England, I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the worst moments in England football history. Mumford & Sons actually gave us tickets.
Did they?
We met them outside the stadium and they were looking to sell their VIP tickets. And obviously, I work in the football industry. So we had budget to, you know, we'll pay for that, you know. We were sat next to Jamie Vardy's granddad in like the celebrity section of England.
Did you get chatting to him at all?
Cool. Yeah, and Nick Pope. I think Nick Pope's granddad was there as well. And obviously we're sat there having a laugh because everyone's there ready for a party. Yeah.
Everyone thinks going to battle them 5-0 or whatever, don't we?
And that draw actually on that side of the tournament would have been, we'd have got to the final.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. And we lost to Iceland. Yeah. It's one of the worst, I've never seen anything like it. Like capitulation. Can you imagine what it's like in the stadium when you're 1-0 up? We didn't lose 1-0. We a weird, like an FA Cup result. Like we lost 1-0 to a minnow side. We were 1-0 up because of Wayne Rooney penalty. We lost to Iceland.
We lost to the Viking chant.
The Viking, mate, that was mad in the stadium.
What was it like? The clap?
It was that thunderclap.
Thunderclap.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, mate.
Yeah. Oh. So wait, hang on a minute. Also, just rewind a little bit.
Yeah.
So Mumford & Sons sold you your VIP tickets.
So I was with my mate out there working, doing like loads of stuff out there, like content and stuff like that. Mm. And I don't know anything about Mumford & Sons. I'm not into Mumford & Sons. I don't know what they look like.
Oh,
and my former boss at the time was like, "That's Mumford & Sons. Going to get a picture." Started getting chatting to them. I was a bit drunk, to be honest. Like I was at most England games. So I said to the drummers, "Like, mate, I don't know who you are, to be honest with you, mate." I was being a dickhead like that. And they gave us tickets. Like, and I think if England had won, they would have gone out for a party. We'd have all gone for a big party. Even Tyson Fury was out there. I don't know if you remember that. He was on that kind of binge cycle of his life. He went to the England game, I think. Because we lost, mate, Mumford & Sons just got in their private helicopter, went to Copenhagen.
That's not, you know what I mean? They could have had worse evenings, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But so I think there was a chance we could have gone like partying with, if we'd won.
Oh, that's so
and we got knocked out by Iceland.
And so you went to Euro 2016, you went to the World Cup in Russia.
Yeah.
Did you go to, obviously, the Euros?
Yeah, no, I didn't do the Euros because I was working. I do the kickoff, obviously, I'm sure you guys know.
Yeah.
The kickoff, so I was doing the kickoff for that. And Yeah, I was going to go to the final, and thankfully I know you spent $2,500 on a final ticket for England, and PayPal wouldn't let me transfer the money over.
Really?
It was like a block on my account to stop fraudulent activity. It was the best thing ever. Yeah.
Blessing in disguise.
I had the money. I was lucky, so I could spend that on a ticket, which is insane in the first place. Mate, PayPal wouldn't let me do it.
Oh,
it was amazing. I was like, thank God for that. I mean, but at the time, I was stressed. But
the feeling of when Luke Shaw scored, though.
Yeah. But I mean, you get the same feeling not at the ground.
Yeah, it's true.
It's only the only difference is being at the ground for a victory. Being at a ground being for a loss is horrible.
Yeah.
But being at home for a loss is like, all right.
And it was raining as well, wasn't it? It was raining that day.
It was a little bit rainy. I think that's why I think a lot of us, the best memory of that tournament is probably beating Germany.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I say Germany, yeah. Because I feel like we went into that game thinking, you know, we're England, we're against Germany, we're probably going to lose, and it's probably going to be on penalties. And we finally broke the curse.
And we beat them.
What was your favourite moment of the tournament then?
It would have been Germany. I think we were really mature in that performance in particular. I think coming back from the Denmark result, we were 1-0 down on that, weren't we? The free kick.
Yeah.
We were really good in that tournament. And it's a shame because it's a bit like what Mourinho says about finals. Finals are meant to be won, not played.
Yeah.
So you get to the final of the Euros, you have to win it. It doesn't. And we capitulated, unfortunately. So, if you be pragmatic and say, look, to get to a final for the first time since 66, these guys are heroes. But you've got to beat Italy.
Yeah.
And they were there for the taking. We were 1-0 up against Italy. You have to beat them. You have to beat them. So it's a shame because I feel like that's marred a lot of my... I can't think about it. It's like a traumatic ex-girlfriend. Seriously, I wasn't there. Yeah. I've compressed it away from my memory.
What's your opinions on Southgate at the moment? Do you think he's the man?
Yeah, you've got to give him the World Cup.
Yeah.
We have to get to the semis minimum. Losing the quarters, I think it's move on
that's
to someone a bit more progressive.
Gareth's got expectation.
Yeah, he has.
Big time. So anything like before then, we get knocked out, it's his head's on the chopping block, really.
I don't think it is, though. That's the thing. As a fan, we can all say, oh, Southgate, not even for Qatar. I know the England fans that want him out now, which I think is crazy.
Yeah, I agree.
But he's going to be there for the next Euros for sure in Germany, I think it is.
I hope he is, because I think he's doing the right thing with England. I think so. Well, he's got us to a semis and a final.
Yeah.
And he is really using our youth. I know it's weird to say, but the team is really evolving. Do you remember when we're in the period where we were stuck with like Lampard, Gerrard, Rio, Terry? Like we were stuck with the same Ashley 11, Cole. Exactly, same 11 for like a decade. Whereas now,
Theo Walcott came in and everyone went, "Fuck, hell, come
on!" And what's his face was absolutely fuming that he didn't get picked. Who was it? It was like
Mika Richards
and Darren Bent. I think it might have been. Is it Darren Bent? He's scored like. He was like one of the England's top goals.
Yeah.
He was like top goal scorer at the time, like in the Premier League.
Might have been Darren Bent, yeah.
Theo Walcott snapped him. But
we have to win though, Matt. Like, do you know what I mean? We have to win, guys.
It's the next logical.
We can't be
progression, isn't it? We've gone semi, final, dub.
If you look at the England squad now, on paper, do we have the strongest team in the world football at the moment or not?
No, France.
Top three.
Still France.
Top three, I would put us out there.
Where would you rank it at the moment then?
I think maybe top five.
You reckon?
Top five.
We
don't have a top keeper.
That's true.
I think we've got one world-class centre-back in John Stones, in my opinion. I think our midfield, Declan Rice, I'd like to see a bit more of him. He's not a world-class level yet. And then Harry Kane is, he didn't have a good tournament, did he, in the Euros, in my opinion. So I think Spain coming through, Germany coming through, then it's Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay. Always have got a weird kind of group of players that can always beat you, the Dutch. That's why the Euros hurt so much, because we should have won that tournament.
Yeah.
Germany were poor. The Dutch didn't go massively far. Portugal, Italy, they're old as well.
Yeah, they are an old team, aren't they?
It's poor, isn't it? It's a shame, but...
This French team, though, isn't it? It's looking dangerous.
But, I mean, there's a lot of young English talent that are also very dangerous. I mean, if like you say, Gareth gets everyone to gel and we actually turn up for the big games, why not?
Who would you play in your first 11, then, for the first game?
I think Pickford has to... I think there's a debate about Pickford.
Because it is.
Rightly so, because of relegation. Like, he could be a championship goalie by Qatar.
But I feel like he's that player. Like, every time he pulls an English show, he turns into, like, prime David Seaman.
I think you have to keep him. If he stays in the Premier League, you can't be playing Luton Town playing for England at the World Cup.
Could you see Ramsdale maybe getting in the
I don't like Ramsdale.
Really?
No, I'm not a fan of him.
Why?
He's very Edison-esque.
You can't... No. He's 1% of Edison.
1%. What?
He's nowhere near Edison, mate. He's nowhere near. still makes mistakes. Makes a lot of mistakes. I'd put Zach Steffen over Ramsdale as a keeper at Man City's B keeper. Yeah, 100%.
Nah.
I'm not even trying to wind you up.
No, no.
I mean, Ramsdale's still got a lot to improve. The guy's been relegated 5 seasons out of 7. He's not won anything in his career. So I don't think putting him over Pickford, unless Pickford gets relegated. Ramsdale's done okay.
He could definitely go far in the next 6-7 months beforehand.
He could. Arsenal could win the Champions League next season, you know. Yeah. Doesn't mean that it's going to happen.
He's been arguably our player of the season, hasn't he, really?
Do you think?
I think he's definitely in with the shout of it. Him, Saka.
Yeah.
Saka's been up there, yeah. Saka's real quality. Ramsdale, would Bayern Munich come in and take him? Do you know what I mean? I think someone like Bayern Munich, like a team like Bayern Munich or Real Madrid or Man City would come in and take Saka in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Ramsdale, nowhere near.
Would you have him a second choice for now?
No, Ramsdale wouldn't. No. Oh, for England?
For England, yeah.
Yeah, I guess over Sam Johnson, who's currently mid-table in a Steve Bruce Championship side isn't great.
So what's your defence then?
I think you have to play a back five still. I don't think we're good enough on the ball. I think 4-3-3, we struggled with that at points in the tournament. I think you'd have, for me, Kyle Walker as a right-sided centre-back John Stones. I think you've got to play Harry Maguire.
Yeah.
I really think
he's similar to Pickford, isn't he? Like, as soon as he puts on that England shirt, like something happens, he turns into an £80 million defender.
People forget how good he was at the Euros. The guy was injured. He was amazing. I think the left-back issues is strange because Luke Shaw's been really poor, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's been really poor and he had a good tournament for us. I think Ben Chilwell, I preferred Ben Chilwell at the start of the tournament. He didn't play a minute of the Euros, which is crazy to think, isn't it? But that was just down to how good Shaw was.
And you can see how good Chilwell is when he got injured, and you see Chelsea's performances dip as soon as he gets injured. Like he's in a
five as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Suits that system.
He's got that perfect left back, isn't he, right now? Yeah.
Crazy. For me, I prefer Ben Chilwell as a player, but I don't discredit Shaw. And then I think right wing back, I prefer Reece James over Trent personally. Yeah, I don't want Trent near that. Not because he's a top quality player. I just don't know where'd you play him?
Mm.
It's tough, isn't it? Like, is he good enough to be a right wing back, sort of physically getting up and down the pitch?
Mm.
He probably is, obviously.
I feel like as well, Reece James at the moment, like he came back from his injury. Before his injury, exceptional. He came back and he's hit it straight away. He hasn't.
Well, he's injured again.
He is injured again.
Yeah.
It's one of those England things though. He's trying.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I feel so bad from that.
We'll let you off because you've been in France for how many days?
I've been out of the loop. No, I've been away for 8 days.
Okay.
No, I left a week and a bit ago.
Yeah, he's been injured a couple of weeks.
No, oh yeah, I knew that. Anyways. So Reece James right back. What about moving forward?
Midfield, it's gotta be Henderson in midfield. I think he's the best midfielder of his kind that we have, unfortunately. I say that because I think Jude Bellingham is actually getting there really quickly. So I think I'd play maybe three with Bellingham. I'm talking about a World Cup final here, like not playing like a small country in the group stage of the World Cup.
Mm. So this, this is the elite England.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm quite a conservative guy when it comes to football. I'd play Henderson, Rice and Bellingham in midfield.
It's a filthy midfield.
I know, it's a sweaty FIFA kind of 1-0 over your mate, isn't it? I am that kind of guy, unfortunately. And then I think it's Harry Kane with pace around him. I don't know who the pace would be. Maybe it's Phil Foden around him. A bit of pace. I think Phil Foden has to start as well. So
Saka, Sterling?
Not for me. Saka's not there yet. Sterling, no, not for me.
Even after his Euros performance, you know, that experience could be... You take him.
Of course. He was so important. But I still, as a City fan, every football club's got players. I'm sure, you know, as Arsenal fan, you know, when you watch the Invincibles, there are maybe a couple of players you couldn't quite get your head around. I don't know who those would be.
Pascal Siegen.
Yeah. But it's like, I don't understand Sterling, to be honest. I don't fully understand Raheem Sterling. I don't know why he's not better than he is, because I see so much talent there and I've seen him score some great goals for us. It's the inconsistency. I've never seen anything like it. Such a top player.
Yeah.
To be that inconsistent is mad. Like.
So you play Foden and then who
Harry Kane. Harry Kane.
Yeah, because he's
5-3-2.
Yeah.
Five, three, two.
That does make sense.
But you can obviously swap in Bellingham.
Yeah, I was thinking 5-3-3.
Yeah. But you can swap a flat C at like one of those CMs for like a Grealish or Sterling.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's how we're going to win a World Cup, is playing ugly again. And you know, I don't think we're going to... Plus Qatar as well. That is...
I think it's going to cause a lot more troubles than a lot of people think. Like, especially remember how the heat played a huge factor. Was it in... I think it was in South Africa and Brazil.
Yeah.
Like, it played a massive factor. Like, the Qatar heat is going to be like a joke. And then, you know, they've got outdoor air conditioning.
Yeah. Are you going to go out there, do you think?
Yeah. I would love to just experience it and see what it's actually like out there.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I think it's going to be a World Cup like we've never experienced. A, it's in November, December. So it's do we know
why,
what's happening?
Why do you think it's different?
Well, it's in the winter. It's literally in the middle of a season.
Yeah, but when you're in the country and in that moment, it won't feel any different to being in anywhere that's a summer World Cup.
But when you leave, it'll be Christmas. Do you know what I mean? It'll be Christmas.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
like the final's six days before Christmas or something, isn't
when
it?
When you're there, actually at the event, like it's not gonna. It won't feel too dissimilar to a summer World Cup because you are in Qatar.
Yeah, you're right about that, I think. But then it's flying out from a wet, cold UK.
That's true. What I mean? Like, yeah, it's a better holiday.
It'll be like if you're not there, like we're used to watching the Euros, the World Cup in like a beer garden or something, like, you know, outside in the summer, seeing all the Hyde Park like videos going up in the air. Like, we're not going to be sitting in Hyde Park at 5 o'clock in the pitch black, like freezing cold. Like, we're going to inside. Like, I feel like it's going to have a completely different atmosphere in the UK.
You're right, yeah.
That's what I mean. But I mean, like, you saying you going over there, and it's going to be a different experience.
Even out there, I think it will be, you know, because I think it's so much stricter out there. Like, I know I read they're creating like these like fan areas where they're making drinking much more of like a
accessible and all that.
Exactly that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I feel like maybe in these areas, but like I don't think it's going to be the same as like, you know, going to bloody, I don't know, wherever, like London, or everyone's having an absolute piss off on any street in any way. I think it's going to be very, very controlled. I think it's going to be quite interesting.
But if we win, it's amazing, because then we have Christmas like 5 days after. Because that's like...
Got the double celebration.
That is though, isn't it? Do you know... I mean, we're already on holiday at that point.
If we win the World Cup, we've thought how much the UK would have shut down after the Euro, or England would have shut down after the Euros.
And then it's New Year's after that. The party's just... It's 2 weeks.
I can't
do they've got to do is win it, and then...
No pressure then, lad.
Yeah.
No pressure.
I can't do that. I couldn't stomach that. I'd struggle.
Speaking of winning, obviously City are very good at it.
Yeah, we are, yeah.
What have you made of the season so far?
Good. I think the last few weeks have been very, very tricky. I think dropping points to Spurs twice, Palace twice.
That is crazy that Tottenham have done the double over you as well.
It's insane because they're shocking.
Yeah.
I don't mind. They beat us, fine. You know, Pochettino's side beat us in the Champions League. They went far in it, and fair enough. But they lose to Burnley, was it? Or they lost to Newcastle? Yeah. They lost to someone. And it's like, fine, look, I've got mates that are Spurs fans, fair enough. You get the Champions League, fair enough. But if you're going to beat us, at least do something with it. It's classic Spurs, isn't it? To beat us for no reason. To get nothing out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done, lads. Do you know what I mean? It's like, Jesus. But yeah, I'm a bit worried. I am worried, for sure.
Because I thought even just like a month or so ago, like you're looking at City and thinking, oh, it's their title again. That
it was 14 points at one point.
That's outrageous. Now it's one.
Yeah, you'd have to remind me. I'm shitting myself.
I thought it was like four, but it's 1 point.
No, because Liverpool won, didn't they? So.
Yeah.
It's 1 point with 29 games.
Do you think you could probably hang on?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm confident City still win it.
Are you?
Yeah. I think they beat Liverpool in that one-off game, which basically ensures that they win the title.
I agree. Yeah, I think the issue with that game is it's very reminiscent of 2018-19 season, where obviously it was a 98-point, 97-point finish. We beat them 2-1. John Stones' clearance was a millimetre. It was actually a millimetre over the line. There was actually Liverpool fans at me on Twitter saying, oh, the goal line technology is anti-Liverpool. I remember that as well.
On my life.
I was like, genuine accounts, like thousands of followers were like, you know, not like bot accounts. Mate, this the goal line tech is anti-Liverpool. Seriously.
Liverpool.
Like, mate, if that goal line clearance didn't happen, we were looking at Liverpool, if they carried on that trajectory of being centurion, invincible, treble winners of Champions League as well.
Arguably could have been like the greatest Premier League side of all time.
They would have had 100 points and a potential Champions League win against Spurs, you know, assuming nothing, no injuries, the butterfly effect, obviously. That's how good they were. That's how good we were to beat them.
Yeah,
that's true.
But the issue is in that game, we beat them with an Aguero goal. And a Leroy Sané finish, sort of moments of individual brilliance and pace and power. We're lacking that at the moment in this City side.
Well, you're obviously linked heavily with Haaland at the moment.
Yeah. I don't want the drama with the guy. There's a lot of drama, isn't there?
Do you think?
Yeah, a lot. His agent's awful.
I feel like as a footballer, though, at City, he could do numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Would you take Haaland or Kane?
I'll take Kane. Yeah, I'll take Kane.
Thank you. You can't say Harry Kane wouldn't slot in there perfectly.
No, he would.
He would, yeah.
Yeah,
would.
I mean, like,
it's not going to be Kane. It's going to be Haaland.
Probably. Mm. I mean, there's a lot of admin to be done.
And it's only going to be release cost like 40 million or something, isn't it?
60 mil, but we'd have to pay, I think we'd have to pay him 500 grand a week minimum.
Yeah.
Plus, we'd have to give his agent something like it, the whole deal would be worth 200 million quid. Wages included, but you got a guy. If he did two good seasons at City every season, like Pogba, I want to leave. City fans don't want that. We want someone who wants to stay. David Silva, Yaya Toure, company.
What, these guys say
10. Yeah, Aguero, 10 yeah. years.
Yeah.
So I don't want Haaland for 2 years. I don't want this kind of celebrity kind of big name coming in. I don't really care, to be honest. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like Haaland would actually be that type of guy, because I feel like he's very much like a. I see him as like a Zlatan kind of character, but I also think that he's a hard worker, you know, like where he's got to at such a young age, like he's built like a brick shit house as well. Like, I feel like for City, I think he could be there long term.
Yeah, you'd hope that he'd want that. His dad's his agent as well. His dad played for City. His dad broke his leg in a Manchester derby to Roy Keane back in the day. So it's like you hope that kind of history helps. But ultimately, if you got Mino Raiola as your agent, you're looking 2 years at City, and then you get a 200 million quid move to PSG. Then it's PSG to Real Madrid. Then it's Real Madrid. That's what you're trying if you're him, aren't you? Staying at City for 10 years isn't that profitable, relatively speaking.
Well, Mino's going to be absolutely fuming soon because they're changing the laws, aren't they?
Are they?
Yeah, they're bringing in a. I know. Fact check me on this one, Jamie.
No, I believe. I want to hear what the law is.
They're changing the laws on agents that they can own, that's capped at like 20%, I think now. So they can't just demand like a £10 million agent fee.
Really?
I think they're going to cap it now.
Right. I see. So it's all relative to what the transfer fee is.
Yes. Yeah,
so, as opposed to being like, I want 60 mil for him, but 50 mil for me.
Yeah.
Where's £110 million? I get it.
Which I think, is that correct?
Yeah, you're pretty much there. It says FIFA plans on capping agent fees at 3% of a player's salary and 10% of the transfer fee.
Yeah, nice. The agent will make a company that will say, you know, there'll be some weird, trust me, they'll get through that every day of the week.
But all you're going to see now is them demanding more and more in wages.
Exactly. And the wages will go back into the agents or something. Football's the most corrupt thing in the world. I mean, there's nothing more corrupt than football. We're talking about a Qatar, a World Cup.
Yeah.
Seriously. Is that embarrassing for football? What world are we living in? Qatar. They've never qualified.
Wait, how does the world... By the way, I might sound stupid here, but if you host a World Cup, your team automatically qualifies, right?
Yeah.
They'll have a team at the World Cup, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the host sick. Nation. And they're going out straight away.
Then imagine they don't know. I don't know. Do you remember that?
Yes, yeah.
I don't know what group they're in. Yeah, that's...
They get put in like the group of death. It's like...
It probably will be.
Spain, France...
I mean, don't say that. That's...
Oh, for fuck's sake. You know what? Like, if... I do hope they have a good tournament. You know, for the players, though, this is the... If you actually deep it, though, if you're like a footballer from Qatar, this is genuinely like once in... I know maybe there's questions about how they got the World Cup, etc. But if you're an actual... If you think about the actual individual footballers who grew up, who are just football-loving fans, they actually get an opportunity to play a World Cup.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like... That's actually...
They're probably like part-time as well.
Like, what's it? Like San Marino and Andorra. Like, imagine San Marino has done got... FIFA, you know what to do. Give it San Marino and Andorra.
Where's the next one? USA? This isn't it.
It's Mexico,
Canada, USA.
Canada and USA.
West Coast, yeah.
That could be quite fun.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
But how do they play? That's three nations for the host nation.
But it'll be a 48-team tournament.
Oh, is that what it... Okay,
they're up to 48 teams.
What do you think of that?
Shocking, isn't it? It's shocking. I think the state of football is shocking. Do you know what I'm not going to lie to you.
I love it.
48 teams.
What's the reasoning behind it, do we know?
More money, isn't it? More games, more money, more ads in between games.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
It's just going to turn into another qualifying stage.
But in the tournament, yeah.
It's true. 48 teams.
Yeah. More games, just everyone's.
We need
play
to win.
More
we
games.
Need to win in Qatar. It's our only chance.
It's probably true. Do you know what I mean? It literally diminishes our odds, doesn't it? By definition,
yeah.
Makes it harder for England every year.
So, just going back to City for a second, how have you enjoyed watching the development of the club from basically zero to hero?
I think that's the biggest thing that any City fan can say. Like, you know, it's that classic thing. Like, obviously, you know, if you're a Leicester City fan, is a good example. It's quite similar. Like one Premier League title in 100 years, they would have taken that with you. You know, they can't believe they did that. And they did that without financial kind of, you know, doping, I guess, is what you'd say.
Yeah.
But no, City fans, we're so humble about how we've achieved what we've achieved. Because I think we've done it. We've put a lot of money in. But we didn't win the Premier League. You know, our first Premier League win wasn't with, you know, Kaká, Robinho, this kind of glamorous kind of... fancy way of doing it. There are some world-class players that, you know, Tevez and Aguero, we're so lucky to see them, but we did it in a, you know, to keep David Silva, Aguero, Zabaleta, people like Joe Hart, you know, these young players that came through, you know, Phil Foden's coming through, and you know, that is, there's something sustainable about that. Who's
Michael Johnson?
Yeah, he's Michael Johnson was one of the best players I've ever seen.
I actually back it so much. He was so good. Whatever happened to him?
He's an estate agent in Bolton. Yeah. Pretty sure he's an estate agent. What a
fair
player.
Fair play to him, you know. Yeah. He's living his dream.
What a player. Under Sven as well. Oh, I've never seen anything like it. Raw, power, pace. He had this moppy haircut. Yeah, it was scary good.
From playing for Man City to an estate agent?
Unfortunately, I think it's down... I don't want to speak obviously on behalf of him, but it is a mental thing, unfortunately. So, sad. What player?
He just loves houses.
Yeah.
I bet he's a goddamn good estate agent, though.
Yeah.
But he's a goddamn good estate agent. What's your favourite memory as a City fan? And you can't say...
Well,
and
come
you
on.
No, you, but you can't say
yeah.
Aguero versus QPR.
Obviously, that's, miles above everything else. I think the big one for me was beating United
every season
FA Cup. isn't it? But like, even to get that record started so early in the kind of takeover under Mancini in the FA Cup semi-final at Wembley, you know, obviously we played Stoke in that final, which was they were shocking in that final. Any Stoke fan would tell you, and they could have actually beaten us. They had chances as well, but to beat United in a semi-final, what an experience that was for a fan.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And Yaya Toure obviously scored in the semi-final and the final. That was truly special. Do you know what I mean? And then unfortunately, you know, we beat Watford 6-0 in the FA Cup final last time we won an FA Cup final. 6-0. Yeah. People forget about that. We beat a Premier League side 6-0 in an FA Cup final.
6-0.
That's a demolition job, isn't it?
It's like, so it's never going to be the same feeling, unfortunately. So
would you say that semi-final was the best game you've seen live?
It's not the best game in terms of quality. It was a dramatic game because that one finish from Yaya was unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
But the best quality game I've ever seen is probably up there. It's probably Liverpool City at Anfield. It was a 0-0. Riyad Mahrez missed a penalty last minute. But the quality from the two sides, obviously back end of that season, that's the John Stones clearance. But the quality, I've never seen anything like it. I think it's the highest standard of football we've ever seen in this country.
I think there is a big difference as well. Like, it might sound stupid, but there's such a big difference between watching a game on TV than watching a game in real life. Like, you appreciate
movement.
You just appreciate how good these players actually
technical
are.
Technical ability. Yeah.
Like, I remember watching Harry Kane for the first time. You might have even been there. It was in the FA Cup stuff.
White Hart Lane.
Yeah.
Millwall.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember that was the first time I'd ever seen Harry Kane play in real life.
Mm.
I could not believe how good he was.
Yeah.
His ability to hold the ball up. Like I said to you at the end of the first half, I was like, mate, every time he gets the ball, he doesn't lose it.
Yeah.
Like he's got his back to the defender and they cannot get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it really does make you appreciate like how good these players are. Mm.
And just a depth of feel as well, you know, like when on the telly you see someone like play a 70-yard pass, you go, that's pretty good. You see it in person and it curves the opposite way to which way traditionally you should be kicking a football. Yeah. It's like, holy, the technique of that is
crazy.
So moving away from the Prem to La Liga. Now, Barcelona.
Hey, we got new shirts.
Oh, actually, yeah, we should probably, you know what, we'll take this time to say thank you to Classic Football Shirts.
Yeah.
We've got a brand new set behind us, European. We've got Juve over there, Bayern Munich, PSG, Real Madrid and Barcelona. Obviously, it's just been the El Clasico. Very, very...
That's why I put them together.
Exactly. Yeah. Whatever the word is, I can't remember. But Barcelona went a bit of a turbulent start to the season. Mm. And they've obviously got Xavi in, made some very good signings. The signings are proving to be arguably some of the best signings of January. Like in terms of like their
across European,
exactly in terms of how they're performing since they joined the club. Like Aubameyang's hit it off. Ferran Torres, but even Adama Traore, he's got a few assists. Like he's playing.
Can't believe it. Yeah,
but like, do you know what I mean?
That's
like
where the league's at. If he's doing well, yeah. he's not a good player, man. I can't stand the guy.
He does well against you quite a lot.
I did a video literally with a big Wolves channel once. And I said, mate, this guy's championship. And that's when he scored two against us. Yeah, ran through clear on goal. Yeah. Mate, Wolves fans are next level, mate. I was like, are these bands? Is this just we all say things for video content, don't we, to wind people up. Mate, all these Wolves fans, these old guys on Twitter from Wolverhampton, you can see it in their bio, like, do you know what I mean? He's got a picture of his daughter and he's like from Wolverhampton, slagging me up about Traore. I was like, do you know what I mean?
Madness. Well, you've got to hand it to Barcelona because they're really turning their season around, aren't they? Yeah. Like, I think, is it Xavi? Is Xavi. It the new signing? Do you think it's Xavi?
In terms of the management, he's a much better manager than Koeman. Of course he is, like, in terms of the philosophy and stuff like that. But I'm not too sure yet. They need to be, their standard is so much higher than every other club for obvious reasons. Yeah. It's going to be a long, they've still got Braithwaite, they've still got Ferran Torres, who I'm not sold on. De Jong's a good player.
Luke De Jong's a striker.
Frankie De Jong's class, but Luke De Jong's like, what's he doing there? That's a panic signing. Like, I need a striker.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
That's awful.
But they just beat Real Madrid 4-0.
It's crazy. And Real Madrid in the Champions League.
And especially after their performance against PSG.
Yeah.
To beat Real Madrid 4-0.
Away from home.
Was that at the Bernabeu?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, it's Real Madrid.
No, yeah, the yellow kit.
Was it?
It was definitely at the Bernabeu.
Was it?
I said no Benzema.
4-0 at the Bernabeu.
Benzema's injured.
Yeah.
4-0 at the Bernabeu.
Still, 4-0.
Actually, I'll ask you this one. Speaking of Benzema, who's the best striker in the world right now?
Well, he's not fit. But
no, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Who?
Benzema's currently injured, isn't he?
You think he's the best?
No, I'm saying, in terms of the conversation that you want to say.
But you know what I mean, though.
I think Lewandowski's the best striker in the world.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. It's not like a... I think I say unfortunately because I don't think
Kevin
there's many around.
False nine.
Mate, he's up there. Do you know what I mean? I don't think there's many strikers around.
That's the problem.
There's only five. Like Vlahovic.
Yeah.
Who have Dortmund got up front? No one, really. Well, Inter Haaland, Milan have got Dzeko.
Well, when he plays.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Haaland, of course. But, Man City don't have anyone. Chelsea got Lukaku, who's nowhere near. Like, there's a lack of quality strikers, aren't there, in the world?
Do you think Lewandowski was snubbed by not getting the Ballon d'Or during COVID?
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was
really have you seen weird. They're changing the Ballon d'Or now? They're changing the format of it.
Seasonal.
They're doing it seasonal, yeah. So I'm a bit confused about when they're going to be handing out the awards.
It's in October.
This October?
Yeah.
So it's...
For last season.
For last season, it's in October.
That makes sense.
But like this October, it will be talking about last season only. Is that what you mean?
It's
seasonal.
I can double check, but I know going forward.
So 21-22.
Yeah, it will be every October going forward. Yeah, and the next one's in October. So
the current season that we're having is what people will be based on merit for.
It's gonna be an open one because it can't give it Messi.
Yeah, can't go Ronaldo.
More Salah.
Can't get Ronaldo.
Salah.
Of
course you don't.
I don't like it. I don't like
it. Is it because he's Liverpool or is it?
No, there's something about it. I think football's got a real lack of talent in world football. If Salah's right up there for me. And
Who's your number one then?
Who's the best? You've got to say, who's the best player in the world? I think Kevin De Bruyne is probably the best player in the world.
That sounds like a bias. I smell some bias in the air.
Mbappe is a good example. You know, someone like that. Salah for me... I'm going to get slaughtered, I guess, but...
It's fine. Opinions on here are good.
He's a good finisher.
Yeah.
He gets into great positions. He's physically amazing. But I don't think he's as naturally gifted as Riyad Mahrez on the ball. I don't think he's... Is he anywhere near kind of that Ronaldinho level of skill on the ball? Like, does he bring joy to the game? Is he as well... Like, you talked about Neymar earlier, like... He's just a functional player to a very high level of functionality.
I know what you're trying...
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I do low-key get you. But is he...
His numbers are insane. His numbers should get in the Ballon d'Or if it's about numbers. But as a footballer, do you look at Salah? Does he make you want to go out and play football in the street? Like,
I guess if you're Egyptian, he does.
Yeah. Or Liverpool fan. Yeah, literally,
You know what? You actually raise a good point. But I'd still say currently he is the best footballer in the world.
Yeah, he probably him and Mbappe are right up there.
I think Mbappe, like, I don't know. I can't find words to say how good this guy is. Like, he's still, 23 years old. Like, I think the top three in the world right now are Lewandowski.
Mm.
This is in no particular order.
Yeah.
Lewandowski, Salah, Mbappe.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah, I think the De Bruyne shout actually now is a little bit, maybe top five shout, top five, top 10.
Do you feel like we're in like that weird transitional phase right now? Because you know, you had the Messi, like, Ronaldo, yeah. Suarez, you know, Messi, Ronaldo. And now we're in like the limbo stage of who's going to be taking their crown. Who do you think is going to be start pushing for the next few 4 years or whatever?
Phil Foden. Yeah, it's obvious, really. No, it is obvious. I mean, the guy's the most talented kid I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And he's adding goals to his game. He's gonna probably end up with 5, 6, 7 Premier League titles, maybe more. Hopefully Champions League titles as well. Hopefully titles with England. I think Phil Foden has got a real shout of winning a Ballon d'Or. Really? At least being the next England player to come, like Lampard did, come second to Ronaldinho. Yeah. He's probably the next, him and Jude Bellingham. I think Bellingham could win a Ballon d'Or as well.
That's a great shout.
You know, Bellingham, even in 7 years' time, can still be nominated for Young Footballer of the Year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Young Footballer of the
Year. And his brother's coming through.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
In Birmingham, at Birmingham City.
Yeah. So you think, but look, the problem, Foden's still, I think, four years away from being at that level.
Of course
he is. He's still got to compete with the likes of Mbappe.
Yeah.
Haaland, Lewandowski, Salah for these Ballon d'Ors. Yeah.
He's a smart player than all of them. All of them.
I don't think he's that far off killing Mbappe. Genuinely.
You have to look at Mbappe on a world stage, though. Like, he single-handedly got France to that final.
I like seeing with an injury. Every big player's had an injury. Obviously, it's not, you know, you don't want to see anyone. R9. But, you know, you want to see
R9.
Every big player, Alan Shearer had two ACLs, I think it was. Without pace, I want to see what Mbappe does without pace.
That's really. The thing. He's heavily reliant on that.
I can't believe how fast he is, man.
Yeah.
I can't believe how fast.
Oh yeah, because you obviously got to watch him.
I can't.
We did as well.
Yeah, I cannot get over that guy. He's the fastest footballer I've ever seen in my life because it is his stride length. He looks like an alien when he runs. He's like this like gangly guy.
Yeah. His legs do go like that.
Yeah, they do. Like, for example, his offside, not pace, but the skill he had, the offside goal against Real Madrid, where he step over against the keeper.
Yeah.
It's like R9. You know, when R9 would do those steps. Or the Pele goal, when he like, the ball came past and he runs round the keeper and meets the ball around the other side. Like, we're witnessing the arguably like the great, one of the best players of all time.
Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah, I really think we do.
That's gas.
Your head's been messed up by going to these French games.
I swear to God.
I've
always been an Mbappe fan. At the end of Mbappe's career...
Bro, we've watched Messi destroy 8 people.
Yeah, and Messi's considered one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
But I feel like at the end of Mbappe's career, he is going to be talked about. Maybe not the best of all...
Top 10,
something like that. And that even, but you have to see in consideration, the top, to be considered a top 10 footballer of all time.
He'll never be above Ronaldo, R9.
No,
he'll never be above Cristiano Ronaldo, Maradona, Pele.
Yeah, that's 5.
I'd say Cruyff. Cruyff.
Any Messi's?
Messi, of course. Messi's the best of all time, in my opinion.
Do you know what I think, though? Like, he has the capability, he has the ability, he has age on his side.
I don't think he's got the natural ability. It sounds ridiculous saying this. We're talking about fine margins. Obviously, he's a 9.9 out of 10. But to be a 10 out of 10, a god, you've got to do something that Maradona was a genius. I don't think Mbappe's a genius.
Really?
He's not a genius, is he?
No.
Do you think he's a genius?
No.
I think Henri is a genius. R9's a genius.
You've crushed his dream, mate. He's got to watch him live twice.
the guy's a pace merchant.
Well, you know what, though? If he does go to Real Madrid and he does start putting numbers like Ronaldo.
Yeah.
For 5, 6 years in a row.
Will he though?
But even Benzema has done that and he doesn't even get a shot.
But I think if Benzema's, if Benzema had like mad pace, scoring the goals he scored, I think he'd be talked about way higher than he is.
Really?
I genuinely think yep. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, maybe that's true. Maybe that's true.
I think it's true.
I don't know.
I think it's all hype at the moment. I think you've got to give it 20 years and you look back and think Mbappe was pacey. That was about it.
Yeah.
He got himself into mad positions. Good finisher, world-class finisher, but not top 10 of all time.
If you had to build an all-time 11.
That's tough. I don't know who would go in goal for it. I mean, I think Manuel Neuer's got a good shot to go in goal.
Let's do it
then. All-time 11. Because I think we've never actually done this, you know. All-time 11. Any footballer
ever of all time.
Yeah.
Manuel Neuer for me goes in goal.
Really?
I think he's the best keeper of all time, in my opinion.
He changed the way keepers play, don't they? Really, if you look
from
at
his feet, he's won everything multiple times. He's won multiple Champions Leagues, a World Cup, he's won everything.
I'd go Buffon, but each their own.
Yeah, yeah. They're close, aren't they?
He's still going to be playing at 45, you know.
It's insane.
That doesn't determine whether or not he's the best of all time. No, but
it's long.
He's 58.
Long longevity. You know what I mean? The longevity is quite something.
Yeah.
Neuer, it's hard to argue with that, you know. It's very hard to argue
Depends
with that.
Depends if you want decoration, because then it'd be Casillas, wouldn't it? Really.
I think he's close to Neuer, though. They're all very similar, aren't they? Buffon, Neuer, exactly. Casillas.
I would take Neuer over Casillas just for his physical presence as well.
Yeah.
Especially in the morning.
Not Oliver Kahn.
Oliver Kahn was quality. You know, he considered one of the best keepers of all time, but I think Neuer trumps him. I think Oliver Kahn's one of them keepers you look back and you think, wow, Oliver Kahn, unbelievable keeper, but it's just nostalgia.
I think you're right a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
I think you're right a little bit.
So I'll back
you.
I mean, we're one position in, and I'll
back you and go with Neuer as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You going with Ter Stegen, is it?
Buffon.
Donnarumma?
You're just picking current footballers.
Ramsdale. That's what you.
I was going to say that, and I thought I'm not even going to. You know.
You know what? You know, I joked about Donnarumma, but he's so good.
He is incredible.
I'm not sure though.
Mate,
he was.
Think about it. He was 16, and he was AC Milan's first choice keeper.
Yeah, anything like that can happen to young lads. AC Milan weren't anywhere near the level. I think I saw him make a mistake in the Champions League recently. He made a few mistakes this season.
He did learn under Dida as well, didn't he? That right?
No, it wouldn't.
Dida would have been.
Was he not coaching there though?
Possibly. If that's that would make more sense. There's no way Dida was still playing at that point.
Yeah, he's an old done. Well, Dida's another shout.
Well, he was in the 2005 Champions League, mate. So it's been a little while.
Yeah but Buffon's about 70 years old as well. Yeah. Anyways, so Neuer.
Yeah.
Gianluigi.
What formation are you playing? How many defense?
One person.
Yeah, but you have to work up formation to work
you
out.
You probably have to play 3-4-3.
Oh, no, but then
three,
you have to
3-4-3.
Just to get more forwards in.
More forwards in, yeah.
3-4-3. Fuck me. All right.
It's a bit confused. But then you do maybe you just want 4-4-2 so you can have one of every position.
But then Theo's going to cry because you can't put Ashley Cole in there. So that's important.
Would you put Ashley Cole left back?
Yeah. Over Roberto Carlos. I would.
I don't necessarily disagree.
But we're still going 3-4-3. You just have to leave Ashley Cole.
Let's do 4-4-2.
I'm doing
4-4-2. Every position's recognised.
I would put Ashley Cole in over Roberto Carlos.
He was a better defender for sure.
Yep. Ashley Cole didn't... Roberto Carlos had things that Ashley Cole didn't have.
Yeah.
But as an out-and-out left-back, I don't think there's anyone better than Ashley Cole.
But do you reckon that's because you watch more of Ashley Cole?
I've watched so much of Roberto Carlos.
On YouTube.
Yeah, I love him. I'm such a big Roberto Carlos fan, but I'd still put Ashley Cole in over him.
Interesting.
I agree. I do agree.
I mean,
he was part of defence that went undefeated for a whole season.
Yeah. And then he went to Chelsea and was even better defensively. Yeah. Even though Arsenal were great.
We hated him, but.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you hear Wenger came out and said that was the one mistake he wished he could have corrected? Ashley Cole going to Chelsea. He said throughout his whole career as a manager, the one thing he regrets was letting Ashley Cole go.
That. It is quite mad that we did that more than one occasion.
Yeah.
We let our best player go to our rivals.
A week difference, like.
Yeah. Van Persie, United.
Yeah.
Who did we get instead? William Gallas. He was good, but he wasn't Ashley Cole.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
So who's your left back then?
No, it's Ashley Cole.
Ashley Cole.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. And you're going?
I also prefer Ashley Cole.
So no one's going to put Roberto Carlos in their all-time 11?
I don't think... I mean...
Do you know what I mean? Like...
It's tough. I had a weird experience with Roberto Carlos in a club, and he was like getting with like young Russian girls in his club once. Do you know what I mean? I don't like the guy. I think Ashley Cole's a nice guy. Roberto Carlos is a bit of a dodgy character. Do you know what I mean? That's why I'm not going to put him in.
So we'll go Ashley Cole.
Sure.
No Philip Lahm at left back?
Maybe right back.
I was actually going to be my right back.
You're going to put Philip Lahm right back?
I would have done, yeah.
Yeah?
I've watched more Lahm than Cafu, but those would be my top two.
Lahm's a right back. Yeah, Lahm's a right back for me. I agree. Yeah.
The only time I remember Philip Lahm at left back was the Euro goal, the opener he scored.
2006 World Cup.
World Cup, sorry.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Torsten Frings banging in.
Yeah, it was Ballack and Frings in a double.
Every
pivot,
goal Frings would score is just like a 45-yard worldie.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go. Danny Alves is such a big shout, you know.
I'm tempted.
Isn't Danny Alves the most?
The highest assists for...
No, he's got the most trophies ever of all time.
Got 41 trophies.
Oh, sorry.
He's got the most trophies of all of football.
Ferguson won 38. And Danny Alves has got 41.
I mean, you put him in.
I think I might
That's
be right.
A fair comment, yeah.
Like, imagine having
But I thought you were going to say...
The most trophies of all time.
I thought you were going to say...
And he's still playing.
Yeah. He could win the Europa League.
He could extend it.
He won the Olympics, didn't he? That was a recent title.
Yeah.
The Olympics.
See,
he's also got the most assists for Messi of all time as well.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't think Lahm makes it in my back four.
Really?
I'm actually sorry.
All right.
Because I've got a toss-up. I feel like Cafu, you know, what Cafu has won two World Cups.
Yeah.
And if I had Cafu in, I'd put him in because I want him to be my captain. I want him to be my leader.
Mm.
But I think I have to put Dani Alves in.
I agree.
Wait, so you wouldn't put Cafu in just on footballing ability? Even though he's unbelievable.
He was, I'm not denying that. But
because he's not my captain, I can't put him in.
I want Dani Alves in the team.
That's fair enough. I like that shout.
Yeah.
I didn't actually, he didn't cross my mind originally when it was either between Cafu and Philip Mohn. But
No, Gary Neville.
Doesn't quite make
Bakary Sanya.
Zachary Banya.
Zachary Banya. So I'm going Dani Alves. You're going?
I'll go Dani Alves.
Philip Lahm.
You're backing it.
I've got to, man.
It's tough.
So we've done three positions and Roberto Carlos and Cafu are not in our...
Yeah. That Brazil team's getting nowhere near this.
Two centre-halves of all time.
Maldini.
Yeah, has to be.
I guess, yeah. Maldini's one of them. Who's the other one?
Who Vincent stands Kompany. Out?
I want to. Nesta. Believe me, I want to.
You could have a Maldini-Nesta partnership. Cannavaro, one of the only defenders to ever win the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
Also, world player of the footballer.
Too small.
World player of the year.
For my back line. German Beckenbauer.
Good shout. I mean, a bit before.
It's one of his football hipster shouts. I don't know.
He's a very football hipster.
He's like a sweeper. He was a sweeper, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, John Terry.
For me, he might be the best centre back ever to come out of the country.
He was my suggestion. I was going to put John Terry in. Yeah.
Well, of all time?
In terms of Premier League.
Koeman?
Right.
But yeah. these have to be players that we've watched as well, though, right? You can't just go for
Carlos Alberto.
I'm definitely putting
Maradona in.
All right.
You have to.
Well,
do you know what I mean? So I've never watched him play.
Carlos Alberto. Bobby Moore.
Again. But this is what I mean. Like, how much of it is based off that you know about the player or just that you've heard of the player?
Does it really matter? Does it really matter?
No, you've got to know your football history. So you shouldn't. I don't watch Maldini much, but you know Maldini's the best.
Yeah.
Probably the best defender of all time. Like all you could play left back, wherever you want.
Three generations of Maldini have now played for AC Milan.
Yeah, that's mad. And Maldini's doing well at AC Milan.
You're putting the
sporting director.
Yeah,
you're putting Paolo in, though, not his grandson. Okay.
Brazy. Puyol. Piqué.
Puyol was a good shout. Fuck.
Carlos Puyol.
Yeah.
I think you could isolate him, though. I think he played in the side where he had all the ball. And that's... Obviously, I'm being disrespectful because he's still a great defender.
I tell you what.
I feel like he's a John Terry character that will put his body
on. I tell you what, you lot are going to think this is absolutely ridiculous, but in terms of decoration, Sergio Ramos.
No, it's not ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous.
I'm going to put him in. There you go.
Technically nowhere near Nesta.
Probably not, but I mean, if you want a guy to win a football match.
You want to win a team, don't you? You don't want to play against Ramos, you want to win a team. But then you don't want to play Nesta and Maldini.
No, I
think a lot of chemistry there. As well.
Yap, Stan, Sol Campbell. Funny story.
Just naming loads of older
bumped
players.
Into Sol Campbell this week.
You did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in.
Are you going to say the story now? Or you...
I'll save it for afters. Yeah, but I'm going to go for Maldini, and I'm going for John Terry.
I have to do Nesta and Maldini. I think
that's
Nesta's
a partnership dreams,
better.
Isn't it?
It is a little bit.
Yeah, all right.
A little bit.
There we go.
At least we've got something different going on here.
We have. I originally was going to say John Terry, then everyone went, of all time! And then you just put him in anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I love him.
Troll.
I know he's a Chelsea fan and whatnot, but I think he's such a good fucking defender. Midfielders. Who's your right mid?
For me, it has to be Xavi, Iniesta, Busquets as a three.
So 4-3-3.
Oh, sounds ridiculous.
Okay.
That sounds ridiculous. Maybe that's a bit ridiculous. Maybe you've got to put Zidane in, don't you, somewhere?
Zidane.
I just think as a three, it's the best three of all time. I think they keep the ball better than anyone else. You wouldn't be able to.
They
you could play any other,
other
yeah, any other group of legends in this theoretical situation. They wouldn't. Football's all about the ball. It's all about keeping the ball. So
but then everyone is getting green links because they're all icons. So would you actually put those three in, do you reckon?
I really think about it.
Oh, so we've scrapped the 4-4-2 then.
You can still go
4-3-3.
Yeah.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. So you're just getting three centre.
No David Beckham right mid? I think you should stick with it. Back it.
I think you could individually isolate Busquets. I think Zidane could play Busquets. I think Zidane was so good. He could play the Busquets role of a deep line holding midfielder with Xavi and Iniesta. I think Zidane, Xavi and Iniesta for me.
It's outrageous. You know, I used to watch when I was like a kid and stuff playing Sunday League. The night before, I'd like watched Zidane compilations.
Mm.
And I remember one that really stood out. It was like really analysing his game. And it was just showing that he was always two moves ahead of the game. And it sounds like, oh, yeah, you know, players read the game, whatnot. Yeah. But it showed individual like highlights of him like knowing what he's going to do before he's even been passed the ball. Yeah. He was just leagues above it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even when they talk about him, like when he was the coach of Real Madrid, like him taking part in training, he was the best player there.
That doesn't surprise me.
You know what I mean? Like,
actually, to be fair, Cristiano Ronaldo was there at that point as well, right? So, but, I mean, there's a debate.
Yeah, Ronaldo's doing strike and free kick training anyway, so he wasn't taking part. So you're going that three, but you know you're going to Zidane.
Yeah.
Over Biscuits.
Zidane, I think so. Zidane, Xavi, and Iniesta. That's filthy.
That is quite filth, I won't lie.
I'm going Messi right mids.
Okay.
So, I mean, you can't argue it really, can you?
No. So. And your left centre mid's left mid.
The issue is who do I favour more? Because I mean, it's the Xavi and Iniesta thing. Like, if you pick one, you kind of have to pick them both because they're unplayable. Yeah, when they're together. But left side. Ronaldo.
I think you're running out of options. You have to put Maradona in my opinion.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Ronaldo in. You have to put Messi in.
Yes, there's three.
No, Pele.
It's mad. No, because I've got three in midfield. Plus, Pele was this guy was scoring 400 goals against the army. They're all smoking 20 a day.
Training as well.
He's like the army training session. I was like, what? Yeah. I mean, he's rocking up with boots. They're all in like army kit and all that. Do you know what I mean?
Who's your midfield then?
So left, I'm going Cristiano Ronaldo because just off his prime at Real Madrid, he was pretty much left winger, really, wasn't he? Converted across. Right, I'm going Messi. I think, based off who I've watched be the best centre mid pairing of all time, it has to be Xavi and Iniesta. I mean, there's arguments for better players back in the day, but I've never seen a pairing better than that.
I'm going.
And if you want to win a game, those two together.
Well, I'll build a team that will beat your team. So
fine, we'll play it on FIFA after.
I'm gonna go 4-3-3.
Yeah,
I'm going my midfield of Zidane, Johan Cruyff, and. Who do I want to whack in there?
It's quite imbalanced.
I know, I'm thinking of... But then again, like Zidane, he can play deep line. He can just move the ball, whatnot. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, the defence are too good. They just give the ball to midfield and we're sorted. And then I will go... I'm trying to think. Is a toss-up between Iniesta or Xavi? I think...
You're just going to play one of them?
Yeah. I'm going to go...
They're out their depth in that squad. Yeah, that's tough.
I'm going Xavi.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Cruyff and Zidane, they have the ability. You know that. You know how Iniesta was... Xavi was much more of a pass. But Iniesta had that dribbling ability Xavi didn't have.
Mm.
So I feel like Xavi
would definitely sit a lot more in that.
Xavi would be like our sort of sitter.
Yeah.
Then you got Johan Cruyff and Zidane in front to just spread.
Yeah.
Just absolutely filth it.
It's a good shout, you know.
Cruyff literally changed football.
Yeah, but I was going to put him up front or thought about putting him up front.
Well, you can't because
you run out of space.
Yeah.
Why? I've got two strikers.
Oh, you're playing 4-4-2?
Yeah.
Who's the two in midfield then for you?
Xavi and Iniesta.
Xavi and... Oh, fine.
Messi,
so Zidane doesn't make your all-time 11?
Possibly not, no.
A big Patrick Vieira?
R9?
I love
Ronaldinho.
It. Oh, these are tough. Yeah, but I don't know. What are we doing? Building a team to just the best 11 of all time?
Yeah. My front three are going to be Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, and... it's a toss-up between Maradona or R9. and I'm going to go
they're
with...
They're always in the same conversation, though, isn't
I'm actually going to go you with know if you asked... R9.
Yeah, wow. That's fair enough.
Yeah, because I've got Messi. R9.
You can't not have Maradona then.
I can and I will. No, really? Maradona and no Pele. R9.
But I
didn't have...
This train of thought I actually agree with because you know way more about R9 and... Well, actually, Cruyff's an interesting one because...
I'd research Cruyff a lot as a kid.
Okay, fair enough. I was going to say, like, he's a bit before your time.
I watched compilations of him all the time. Not that means much, like, but like...
Yeah.
But I would put R9 over Maradona.
I think you could have Maradona where Cruyff is for you.
I could do.
As a playmaker.
Could, yeah.
He was double the player Cruyff was. That's a good Maradona was.
I see Cruyff as like, he just changed football. I feel like in an all-time 11, like, I have to include him.
Mm.
But I think the only problem with R9 is that his injuries just like destroyed his career, so to speak.
Yeah.
Like he was the greatest talent of all time.
He might be the best striker of all time.
Yeah. Like as a complete striker, he had everything. Yeah. Like he tore defences apart. Like, he actually tore them. Like you dribble through.
But this is the difference what I'm sure Boob means in terms of like the difference between Mbappe and R9.
Mm.
Like R9 could play you out of the game. Mbappe knocks a ball past you and has to... You know,
no,
like
but he
run.
Also can play out the game. Like,
I've not seen enough.
He
I've
does.
Not seen any
no,
of that.
Mate, he had Carvajal on strings. And under Carvajal, he's a good defender. He's a Real Madrid right back. Like, let's be clear.
How did he beat him, though? Do you remember the goal he scored in the first leg of that tie? What was it? Pace?
Yeah.
He flicked it through his feet. You know, I don't know. I don't think Mbappe, if he gets a big injury like R9 did, I don't think he's as smart as R9. R9 was naturally... Like, natural...
I still prefer R9. Like, I don't think he's
of course, yeah.
But
mentality.
The other thing I could do is replace Cruyff with Kaká.
But this is what I mean. Like when you talk about an all-time 11, from the perspective of our generation, there's always the same names that pop up every single time. When you know, like 10, 20 years time, and they would have this conversation again, it'd be completely different. Nobody will go, R9, because
they'll say R9.
Do you really think so?
I think there's four or five that we've all said that will stay forever. I think Messi's the best of all time. I don't think he will ever be topped, in my opinion. I think Maradona's second of all time. He'll never be. I think, and then it's Ronaldo.
Yeah.
I think as those three, they transcend time, in my opinion.
You think, genuinely, it would put Maradona above Cristiano Ronaldo?
Yeah.
The greatest goal scorer of all time. Yeah. He literally has the most goals in history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's why their top three is a bubble like that. And then I think everyone else is very, very close. When you Ronaldinho, Henri, Vieira, I know they're different positions, and Zidane and people like that. But Maradona was transformative to football.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
You know where I stand.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the greatest goal scorer of all time.
He is actually, officially confirmed.
Yeah. So wait, we are putting it... Your front three. Oh, we haven't said your front two.
No,
you got
front three
didn't
of Messi, Ronaldo, Maradona.
Yeah.
Oh, that picks itself in, doesn't it? I'm going to go Maradona and R9. He's my favourite number nine of all time, I think.
Yeah.
Because Henry was 40.
Packed him on FIFA last week.
Did you?
I packed Ronaldo, yeah.
Shit.
And Maradona.
Wow.
For other people's packs?
No, on my account. I packed Maradona and Ronaldo.
Wow. Yeah. And you kept that quiet.
No, I didn't. You've not been a subscriber, have you not?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. We've now come to my favourite point in the show, the quiz. If you look behind you, this is where everyone's scores are. Who are you trying to beat here on the leaderboard?
I just want to see.
James Alcott, 3.
What are the questions about? Sorry,
it's five
football.
General football.
General football questions.
I'd like to be Bez would be good, Thogden would be good.
Sharky got 3.
Yeah.
Sharky doesn't know anything about football. No, I'm joking. James Alcott for me. I'd like to beat James Alcott.
James Alcott is a very intelligent.
I feel bad for him. Like, QPR aren't getting promoted anymore. I've been selling them all season. Yeah. They just lost to Peterborough.
So. Anything above 3.
Did they actually?
Yeah, the worst side in the championship.
Yeah, they are, but by a country mile as well.
Peterborough.
Not anymore. Derby are now, unfortunately.
Oh, are they?
They're bottom now, Derby.
Oh, after the win for the
Yeah.
For the posh.
Touch on Derby quickly. I think Rooney's doing quality.
I don't think they're going to make it though, unfortunately.
Yeah. If they do make it, what a story.
He's 8 points now.
That's tough.
Reading are doing too well.
Oh, that's such a shame because they're really... I think they're going to be... If they didn't have the point touch, they're like mid-table.
Oh, yeah. Easy. Madness.
Because I thought when Rooney took out, I was looking at him like he didn't have the best start and like it wasn't great, but he's really proving himself as a manager right now. Better than Frank.
He is better than Frank. In my opinion, he's better than Frank.
Yeah. Did you see the post-match interview between Frank Lampard after the Crystal Palace game? Jamie and I were laughing about it earlier.
I don't get it.
So anyway, they lose 4-0 to Palace. They're out of the FA Cup.
Oh, I did see this. Yeah.
And Lampard goes, so first goal, concede a corner. Second goal's a poor goal. Third goal's a float goal. Fourth goal's a poor goal. It's just so funny that anyone that plays FIFA or remotely close to it just has a classic reaction.
What's the question about his daughter's birthday or something? Was that one of the questions?
What?
Or was that the meme? One of Christmas, like, he got asked for his daughter's birthday.
No, he was talking about VAR. Is that my 3-year-old daughter could have seen it. That was.
Oh, okay, I got the wrong end of the stick on that one then.
Yeah.
Either way, look,
it was quiz time. It was the Man City game, wasn't
it? Don't worry about it, quiz time. It made me look like an idiot. Here we go.
Cool. He's talking about his daughter's birthday party.
Question number one. Before coming to Manchester City, what was the club known as? Is it A, Ardwick FC? B, Main Road Rovers? C, Salford FC? Or D, Manchester Royals?
Is it A?
It is A, yeah.
Nice.
FC. What is A?
So before the club was called Manchester City, they were called Ardwick FC. Yeah. So their first 7 years of being a professional football club, they were known as Ardwick FC.
Ardwick FC?
Ardwick FC, yeah.
We're older than Arsenal. We're one of the oldest clubs in the country. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We won our first trophy before United.
Because they only just hit success.
Yeah, we won our first trophy in 1904. I think United didn't win a trophy until the 1920s, actually. Yeah. They beat Bristol City in the FA Cup to win their first trophy.
Also, by the way, if you are playing along, leave your answers in the comments down below.
Yeah, interesting fact as well, before you were professional, you were actually called West Gordon St Mark's.
I thought that was what one of the answers was going to be. I knew it was that one.
Oh, right.
But
nice.
I knew Ardwick as well.
What is behind Ardwick? Is that just like the area of Manchester?
It was just where you were playing. Ardwick.
Question number two.
In the 2010-11 season, Manchester City won the FA Cup 1-0 with Yaya Toure scoring the only goal in the second half. Who were their opponents?
Stoke City.
Yeah, it was Stoke City.
You've just asked a diehard City fan who they beat in an FA Cup final.
Jamie, you had 40 minutes. You had 40 minutes to change the question after that point.
I forgot that was one of the questions.
He literally spoke about it earlier and you still have time.
I forgot
that was one of the questions. I will say, in previous episodes, I've actually made up a few questions on the spot.
Have you?
I'm going to...
That's so poor!
I can't believe that.
I still got the point, guys. Sorry. I want
two,
the point.
Two, are you,
yeah, yeah, no, you can. No, you can absolutely have the point.
We're pushing for a five!
Yeah.
Question number three.
The next one. Who did they beat in the semi-final before that?
It's not that. Who did Eric Cantona play for before he was signed by Manchester United?
Leeds United.
I mean, it's your quiz, so yeah.
Yes, Leeds United.
Yeah, it was Leeds United.
Yeah,
well, it's the easiest quizzes.
I don't want to say anything.
Well, this one's a true or false, so you might get this one wrong.
Here we go. 3 out of 3.
Probably not.
Mario Balotelli's Why Always Me t-shirt was originally meant to say Why Always You.
I'm going to say that's false.
Yeah, that doesn't make
I think he premeditated the Why Always Me. I think it's false.
I'm going with false as well. Play along.
It is false, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense, does it? No, why always you? Yeah. Who are you talking to, Mario? What's the deal? Are you all right? Anyway, it's 4 out of 4.
I'm beating QPR.
Joint leadership. Joint winner.
Number five.
I can't believe. Sorry.
I'll take the Stoke one all day.
Who am I?
Oh.
Birmingham born and bred. I spent my early youth career at Leeds, Oldham, and then Manchester City. I broke into the first team in 2005, making my debut against Arsenal in a 1-0 loss. I have one Premier League title, one FA Cup and one Football League Cup. I only ever played for two English sides, but I have also played 10 games for Italian side Fiorentina.
Ah, Mickey Richards.
That was so clean. Well, that's another five, isn't it?
Yeah, there we go.
Five out of five.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
5 out of 5.
That was the quickest five as well.
And you know what? That actually overtakes FNG. because it was the quickest.
That is record time, yeah.
That was record time.
It's about 4 seconds.
I'll take that.
Cheers, lads.
We actually got someone with a serious ball knowledge on this pod, mate. That's why.
You know what, Jamie? I'm not upset. I'm disappointed.
It's even worse.
No, it's not that bad. Obviously, you know, you work in YouTube, you do all that sort of stuff. You said you were working for Kiss FM at the moment.
Yeah, I work for Kiss FM, so I do all their sort of social media and
how
stuff like that.
How did you get into that? What did you do like growing up, like at uni? Did you go to uni?
Yeah, no, I went to uni in London, and I spent all my money on camera gear. Like, I'm sure you guys obviously know, like, you know, when you're YouTubers, yeah. And, you know, I think you were more direct YouTubers than I ever was, but I started filming and then photography, and I worked in football for a football website very early, and then. Yeah, I just.
What did you study at uni?
I did film with English, but film theory. So you're not making films. Oh. It was very analytical and stuff like that. And I was the only person really in my class to sort of go out and just try and make stuff. And I made so many like little films and stuff like that, you know. And yeah, so I'm sort of in production now. Sort of obviously worked with obviously you guys in football and various football shows and stuff like that. So sort of in the space that way.
Obviously, doing all this sort of stuff, you get a chance to like meet quite a few like. Not necessarily your idols, but like, you know, footballers and whatnot, people you look up to. Who's the best person you sort of met or spoken to, had the chance to speak to?
I've actually met Maradona at a charity event, and that blew my mind. I mean, so it was 2016. I was like,
it makes a lot of sense.
Job.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense now.
the aura around. I've been lucky. I've met all the big footballers you could think of, like, you know, in our kind of generation, Wayne Rooney, Aguero, Sterling, De Bruyne. Yeah, I've been lucky just working in the space, but Maradona had an energy around him where everyone was quiet.
Yeah.
Even big presenters. I was working with, I was actually stood next to Harold Webb. Like, he was doing a charity referee game in Paris, actually. And that's where I filmed him. And Maradona came with like 30 security guards. But the presence that he had was surreal.
He's like a god, isn't he?
Not religious. Yeah.
He was a god. Yeah. And then he shook hands with Pele. And we were there
witness
to film
Pele
that.
Shake hands with Maradona.
And I saw Maradona put on his kit and play five-a-side against Rio Ferdinand. And wow. It was for a watch.
Were they shaking? It was like
proper
a bit,
handshake.
Squeezing a bit hard.
No one knows this. They had a few for like 20 years.
That's
they
what
didn't
I mean.
Speak. I didn't know that until that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
What's that about though? I'm the best player.
It literally was.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, they're just going over shaking hands, like, oh, you got a strong handshake.
I'm 2 foot you today.
Yeah.
I was speaking to someone who works in Argentina.
But do you not think like those two players with like such sorry to cut you off.
Just gave me the funniest look when you did that.
Sorry. It came to me straight away. But like, do you not think two players with like such egos that are genuinely revered would just clash heads at that point? It's like Messi and Ronaldo now.
I feel like Messi and Ronaldo are low key like best mates.
I don't think so.
They respect each other.
I think they would like.
But do you not?
They wouldn't necessarily have dinner, but they'd send a text saying, "Well played today, mate."
But do you not think that's because in this generation you kind of have to be, because everything will be outed in.
Well, mate, Pele's still salty about Ronaldo. Pele still say, "No, Ronaldo's not. He's got the best goals. I've actually still got him." It's like, mate, just like, you know,
yeah,
you're wrong.
But that's these are also people that have like, well, Pele won 3 World Cups, so I mean, like, he obviously knows it.
Yeah.
On a level of
yeah,
I don't know. It's sorry, I numbers. Cut you off big time.
What was I saying? Oh yeah, I spoke to someone who works in Argentina this week, and she was saying like the Maradona era, the Maradona aura. Sorry, like he is like a human god. Obviously, he died now, but like even if I go to Naples and I tell someone from Naples that I'm Argentinian, they're like, oh, come in, we'll give you a tea. Like, they treat Argentinians as like these like. Superior humans. It's true.
Really?
Yeah. In Argentina, goes to Naples, they're like treated like a god as well, just because of what Maradona did for that town.
Yeah.
They put a statue of him in Napolitan plate, like restaurants or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Even in London, you'll see little Maradona statues. That was down to how he played football, and that's what we talk about Mbappe, like lightly, but it's like he played football to an extent that actually kind of transcended the sport, and that's why he was revered. He wasn't just a golf. If he was just a finisher, no one would be talking about him like that.
Do you not think, I looked back at the you know, Messi's goal that is like a carbon copy of Maradona.
Against Atletico Bilbao?
Yeah, is it Bilbao? It was something like that, wasn't it?
Was it in La Liga?
Yeah.
I think it was Bilbao.
And it's like they both get the ball. I looked back at it yesterday and I was like, what the fuck? Well, how is that? I think that's so weird. Like that goal. This is exactly the same.
It's like the... I know it's not really comparable, but you know, remember the Saka goal versus Watford? And you overlaid.
Arsenal fan.
No, I'm being serious. Oh, no, I'm just from an intent, from a visual. No, from a visual standpoint.
I know. I get your point. But no, I'm that's saying just the same shot. Like Maradona.
Yeah, I
Messi,
scored the same. I scored the same as a Maradona goal in the playground. You know what I mean?
Like they've scored. No, they ran from inside their own half, gone past the same defenders, gone round the same keeper in the same movement, and finished in the same movement. What? 35, 40 years
finished. You know the Messi goal that he scored in the Champions League, where like the layoff, and then it was against Man City. And that goal for Saka versus Watford is pretty much identical in the way that it pans out. It's just how weird that sometimes goals mirror each other over time. Right. That's the point I was trying to make, and you went, lucky Watford.
It was
Watford. It's crazy how goals can get recreated amazingly precise in two completely different football matches. Like, how the fuck is that?
True, actually. Yeah.
So obviously, you met one of the greats of all time.
That was the best for me, yeah.
Did you get a chance to like speak, or you just see him? Did you get?
It was just being like, yeah, I was as close as we are. Yeah. And obviously, he doesn't speak English, but there was like a good 5-10 minutes where we're just sort of standing there, kind of taking it all in.
Yeah.
It was an unbelievable experience. And I was still at uni at that time, so it was just an unbelievable experience.
Wow. Who's the best person you've probably like worked with, like got a chance to actually like talk to on a level?
Oh, that's tough. We did a shoot with, I worked with Nike once, and we did stuff with De Bruyne. That was really special.
Cool.
Yeah.
Especially as a City fan, I'm guessing.
That was amazing. And that was before, that's when he first joined, so no one knew how good he'd actually be. We hadn't won a Premier League with Guardiola at that point. It was the first season when we were getting battered by Leicester City and all that. We lost to Arsenal in the semi-final of the FA Cup and all that. Oh, what
has he always had a personality? Because he's quite a funny guy, right?
What, De Bruyne?
Yeah.
He was quiet. I think City fans think he's quiet. I don't think he's got much of a personality. Not in a bad way. I think he's quite a quiet guy.
I think he's quite quiet.
Yeah. And when he was outspoken in the Champions League final and he was sort of shouting, and then he got his... It's not... If a game's going bad, you don't want De Bruyne on the case. You don't really. You want other players. Like Ruben Diaz is a good example. You want that guy to build you up. Once De Bruyne starts shouting, he's not really the same. You know what I mean? He's not right, is he?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know. Yeah.
You're not going to respect De Bruyne shouting at you, are you? Yeah. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit whingy as opposed to like motivating.
Yeah, exactly.
I know what you mean. What's the craziest thing you have done as part of your career that you've just gone, other than the Maradona?
Like a pinch me moment.
Oh, I don't know. That's tough. I was able to work with Man City and make a documentary about Man City. So I interviewed Mike Summerby, and I was able to talk to the sporting director at City and some of the City players and stuff like that. That was amazing. I was only like 21 when that happened and stuff like that. And there was like a proper partnership with Man City just for like a little mini doc sort of thing. But that was just
how did you get that?
That was just through like sort of the football website I work with, and it's just sort of one of those partnerships that sometimes comes up in football where the club's open to PR for whatever reason.
Man City are quite good at that sort of stuff, though, aren't they?
They're like, really,
I think they're leading the lay, aren't they?
They're very transparent, and their esports stuff's really good, and stuff like that. I really, you know, if you ever get to work with a footballer, I think it's, even if it's like a D-list footballer, I think it's, we all love football so much, don't we? It's just mad.
Yeah. If you had to pick one, apart from the Etihad, you had to pick one stadium to play at a football match in, what stadium?
I wouldn't play at the Etihad. I love it to the bits, but really? I wouldn't play there. I wouldn't play there. Nah, it's way more historic stadiums, to be honest with you.
It's hard to pick one that you have to pick one.
That's hard. I don't want to say, Wembley is up there for me because it's the home of English football, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it'd probably be old Wembley if it was still a thing. Really? I know it's ridiculous saying that, but it'd be old Wembley, I think.
Just rebuild the ground.
Yeah, exactly. That was a special stadium. I'm sorry, I never went to go there, really. The new one's not special at all, is it? Let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it's had special occasions, but it feels quite hollow. Like over time, hopefully,
it needs a chance. Like at the end of the day, it's still a new stadium, doesn't it? It needs a chance to.
It feels new and clean. Like, there's no character.
It wasn't clean at the time. Game week 31 predictions.
Oh, we actually want to do predict. Okay, but they're in like 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, they second are 2 weeks. Yeah.
It's an international break, isn't it? We're going to watch an international break game.
Oh, yeah, we're going to England, Ivory Coast, aren't we?
Because it's your birthday.
My birthday? Yeah. Oh, my God, it's my birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay. How old are you going to be, sorry?
Going to be 26.
26.
Oh, sorry.
26. Yeah. 30. You're older than me.
Who?
You.
Yeah.
You're 28.
No, but it's just
you're 28. Oh,
just
wow.
I'm not 28.
How old are you?
I'm 26.
I'm 27. I'm only a year.
You're 28. Stop lying.
1994.
All right, here's what we're going to do then. We're going to do England predictions. We've got Ivory Coast, and we've got the other team.
I don't know what the other game is.
What is it? It's on the 26th. It's on the 26th. It's on the Saturday.
Oh, it's on this weekend?
Yeah.
I'm going to the Arsenal Women's.
No, you're not.
Oh, you maybe Glasgow. I'm not, actually, yeah,
you want Glasgow, North London Derby, Arsenal Spurs in the women's team.
Is
it really? Yeah, wow.
So this is England Ivory Coast first, then.
Well, we're going to beat them, obviously.
Yeah. Switzerland.
Switzerland.
Mm, Nicolas Pepe could haunt them. Us, though.
Well, what is the point of these games?
Shaqiri.
They're two different games.
I know, but Nicolas Pepe against England could bag himself a goal.
He could, yeah, he could. Yeah.
Easy. Shaqiri could score a thunder goal, you know, like he always does, 35 yards or something.
Zaha pen.
Yeah, Zaha could play, yeah.
Yeah, so go on. England, let's do an actual specific scoreline for England.
3-1. Yeah, I'll do something like 3-1.
3-1?
Yeah, yeah.
Think I'm going to concede?
Probably with
I don't think there's enough of a game to care about to be
not enough
really
riding on it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
I agree.
And then the Ivory Coast.
Oh, that's for the one I was.
That's what I think.
Oh, okay. Sorry, England, and then England, Switzerland.
I think I'd be 0-0.
Yes,
yeah, like a boring 0-0.
Maybe 1-0, something like that.
Bit dry, isn't it? Yeah, bit dry. What's the point? I'd pull out. Would you pull out of Switzerland? Why are you playing? You know, we've got all these Man City, especially Man City Liverpool players. Obviously, Klopp came out recently and said about, you know, like, that we get punished more because we have international players.
It's always Burnley as well, isn't it, that he picks on? It's always, I don't get the agenda. Exactly. Every time, it's like Burnley don't have this problem.
Yeah.
Why do we need to play
actually, Maxwell Cornet's in that game. So.
Oh, he is.
Hey, so Sean Dyche's going to come out.
Fucking Jürgen.
Yeah.
All right.
Strange, isn't it?
On that note, before we end it, we won't forget. You need to sign the England shirt of dreams. And if you lot obviously want to be in a chance of winning this shirt, just join our FPL league. You know, it's not too late to join. Fantasy Premier League.
You're cutting it close though. We only got like 7 game weeks.
Yeah, the code is GQXNGC. What bit of real estate are you taking?
I'm going to take this bit. I'm going to do...
Well, that's quite nice.
Oh, that's a pro, that is.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Mate, thank you so much for
joining
us.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
It's great insight as well.
If you haven't already, make sure you're subscribed. Follow BB on all this stuff, linked in the description down below.
Yep.
Rate us 5 stars on
Spotify.
And
I don't think the other one has 5-star rating, does it?
Oh.
Apple?
It does.
It does.
Yeah. Okay, Apple. Like and subscribe. Shout out to Jamie for his incredible quiz questions.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Very bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Very good. Oh, whatever.
Baboovie.